You're listening to the podcast Water X Future, presented by Aquaporin, a water technology company based in Denmark. Aquaporin works to preserve one of our most valuable resources, water, by combining advanced bioengineering, open innovation, and circular thinking. In this podcast, your hosts Mette Mølgaard and Josefine Audras talk to experts about water and all the opportunities and dilemmas it contains, technologies rooted in nature, the purpose of innovation, and the spectrum between science and humans. Welcome.
In the last episode, we dived into the concept of open innovation, where collaboration and co-creation are absolute keywords. In this episode, we're focusing on cathedral thinking and what it means, also when it comes to climate change and solving some of our future problems. To help us explore this concept, we seek help from some great minds in the field. We speak with Professor Kimberly Nicholas, who is a sustainability scientist at Lund University in Sweden. We also hear from Matt Butchkowski, who is the newly appointed CEO at Aquaporin, where they use cathedral thinking as an approach in their work. Have you ever heard about cathedral thinking? It might sound strange, but at its core, it's actually quite simple. Basically, you innovate and develop solutions to problems that might not benefit you directly, but future generations. In the Middle Ages, architects and builders would commence work on a cathedral like the Notre Dame, even though they knew they would not live to see the project's completion. If we take a more current example, we can look at water and access to clean drinking water. We might have clean drinking water today, but that is not a sure thing for everyone in the future. So what can we do to try and help future generations? How can we preserve the planet's most valuable resource? Water, even though we might not live to see the long-term results. The same can be said about climate change and coming up with solutions to the climate crisis. We might not feel all the changes today, but they could have a huge impact on the future if we don't start making changes now. So basically, it's about how you can benefit future generations. You need to get involved in unfinished work. This requires a far-reaching vision, a well-thought-out blueprint, and a commitment to long-term implementation. In this episode of the podcast, we're going to explore the concept of cathedral thinking and give you some great examples with the help of sustainability scientist Kimberly Nicholas and CEO Matt Butchkowski, who are both implementing the concept in their strategies. Now we're going to speak with Kimberly Nicholas, a sustainability scientist at Lund University. She's going to dive into climate change and cathedral thinking by looking further ahead of our immediate concerns.
Hi, Kimberly. First of all, thank you for joining us in this episode of the podcast. Can you start by introducing yourself and the work that you do?
Sure. Hi, Mette. Thanks for having me. I'm Kimberly Nicholas. I'm an associate professor of sustainability science at Lund University in Sweden. And I'm the author of Under the Sky We Make, How to Be Human in a Warming World, and the newsletter We Can Fix It. So my research is on how to inspire and galvanize evidence-based climate action so that we actually stop catastrophic climate change.
And maybe you can give us a short overview over the book. What is the book about and why did you write it?
Sure. The book is aimed at my best friends from college. So I started talking about climate change with friends several years ago, and it had been a really long time where my work and my personal life felt very far apart. Every day I was working with climate data and studying the impacts of climate change and already seeing them, for example, in the vineyards where I grew up in California. So I studied the impact of climate change on the wine industry for my PhD. And even 15 or more years ago, we were already seeing those impacts. But at that time, climate change was quite far from top of mind for most people. And that's really changed. In the last few years, we've really seen a big increase in public awareness and concern for climate change, a big increase in willingness to take climate action, both personally, collectively, and politically. But I think people are really stuck on what to do and how they personally can be effective and contribute to the fast and fair transition to a fossil-free world that we need. So that was my goal in writing this book, and really to link the facts, feelings and actions for climate change, that we need all three of those ingredients for an effective response.
And in one of the chapters, you mentioned cathedral thinking, and you mentioned cathedral thinking in relation to climate change. Could you read a small part of this chapter out loud to us?
Sure. So cathedral thinking is the idea that we need to put ourselves in the context of the bigger human story that goes beyond our immediate concerns, our immediate friends and family, even our own lifetimes, and think about the fact that we happen to be alive at this most critical time for all of humanity. So I'll read a short excerpt now from my book, Under the Sky We Make, called Cathedral Thinking. What is humanly possible? Climate change is perhaps the most enormous opportunity to test our humanity. Preventing climate breakdown is at the absolute outer limits of what we might just be capable of. It requires us to rewrite our ideas of who we are, the language and concepts and traditions we use to braid our identities and cultures together. It requires us to redefine and then remake what is humanly possible, what humans are capable of making possible. I'm convinced that now is the most interesting time to be alive. Whether by divine plan or blind chance, it is each and every one of us alive today who happened to be the cast for a decisive moment in human history. Like all generations before us, the impacts of our decisions stretch across space and time in ways we cannot fathom, but we have an unprecedented level of power. Our decisions affect not only ourselves and our families, not only human civilization around the world today and for millennia to come, but the very preconditions for human civilization. Whether, when, and how much rain falls. If crops ripen or wither and die. Each morning I walk to work, I pass a cathedral built almost 900 years ago. Thousands of people contributed to building something beautiful they would never live to see finished. History has forgotten their names. Local legend says the cathedral was built by a giant named Finn. In today's 24-hour news cycles and clickbait wars, it seems impossible to imagine a project that would capture and sustain and renew the energy of so many generations. But in Barcelona today, a great cathedral is rising. A man with a love of geometry and myth imagined something no one else thought possible. Antoni Gaudí helped build the foundation in his lifetime. He hung bags of sand from strings to work out the weight-bearing of the arches he would not live to see built. Five generations ago, he imagined the rainbow stained glass windows whose beauty makes my heart ache. When I visited La Sagrada Familia Basilica, the sacred space was full of the whine and buzz of power tools, building the dead man's dream, now also the dream of many who came after him. It is due for completion in the next decade, 100 years after its architect died. And for untold generations after that, people can stare in wonder at this space that merges nature and mathematics to make something both human and sublime. Climate stabilization is our generation's cathedral to build. Instead of bricks and mortar, our cathedral must be built from life itself. Harnessing regeneration to leave a thriving world and a good life for ourselves and for future generations as the mark of our time on Earth. We need cathedral thinking to stop climate change. Collectively working toward a transcendent purpose we may or may not live to see accomplished, but that will outlive us all.
So that was a short reading from her book Under the Sky We Make, where she addresses climate change and that we can still fix it if we look ahead and plan ahead. In the book, she also goes through actionable and evidence-based advice for facing the climate crisis.
Thank you for that. First of all, it's really beautiful written, and it's super interesting to use this concept of cathedral thinking in regards to climate change. In the last part, you say two things that we find particularly interesting. So you emphasize that climate stabilization is our generation's cathedral to build, and that we need cathedral thinking to stop climate change. Can you elaborate on what it is that cathedral thinking can contribute with in regards to climate change?
The problem of climate change can seem overwhelming, and it is really big. So that's part of why I use this metaphor of cathedral thinking, that we need to see ourselves as part of a bigger team who are working towards this goal, and that there is a role for each of us and that we are desperately needed at this moment. And something that I think a lot of people don't understand is how critical this very moment is. This is really our last window to stabilize the climate before catastrophic climate change. So humans have already warmed the Earth about 1.1 degrees Celsius. We're already seeing the harm and damage from burning fossil fuels and deforestation that cause that warming. And we have very little time, about 90 months at current emissions rate, before we cross the carbon budget for the 1.5 degree threshold. And the reason that matters is that's at the heart of the Paris Agreement. And we know from science that the more we limit warming, the better life on Earth will be. It will be better for us, for future generations, for the 8 million species that we share the planet with. The people and places that we love around the world really hang in the balance of stopping climate change. And to do that, we have to completely stop burning fossil fuels. So we have a huge job in front of us. We have a very short time in which to do it. And I think galvanizing people to see how critical this moment is and how important it is that they contribute to this vision and this build the cathedral and lay the stones that they can in the places that they are with the skills they already have is going to be what makes this work.
And are you alone with this idea of using cathedral thinking in regards to climate change, or do you share this idea? Do you see, when you look at climate policies, that others have this idea as well?
Other people have definitely spoken and written about it. I'm not sure. I definitely didn't originate it. I'm not sure where I heard about it first. I know that Greta Thunberg, for example, has used the phrase in some of her speeches. I think I've heard about it even earlier than that. But I think it's helpful in putting things in context, because we have this paradox right now that the times we live in are really urgent and our decisions are really critical. They're also incredibly long-lasting. Some of the carbon in the atmosphere today from the fossil fuels we burn from driving a car or if we fly in a plane, that carbon will last 10,000 years and cause warming in the atmosphere for 10,000 years. And when you consider that the Great Pyramids or Stonehenge are only around 5,000 years old, you realize that our carbon legacy is actually the most important legacy that we are leaving on Earth now and that will affect hundreds of generations in the future. So that's why this is so important, that the preconditions for a good life, as I wrote, where we can grow crops, how we can live, who can live where, who, both people and animals and plants and natural ecosystems, where they can make a living. We're really setting the thermostat for the whole planet right now, and that's what determines those possibilities.
But do you think maybe it's difficult for us to start building a cathedral because maybe it will take many, many years?
That is difficult. And I think we need creative ways to visualize the future that we want. I'm inspired by art and fiction, for example. A lot of creative people are starting to put their talents towards building visions of the future that we want. And I think those can be really helpful to start from there and work our way backwards to see how do we get there and how are my actions necessary today to build towards that world that we want in the future. But that said, humans definitely have the capacity to do this. I mean, there are many examples from history where people undertake big projects they don't know will work. They don't have a guarantee of success from the beginning, but they believe in and know that they're important and that they're the right thing to do. And I think you can have even a shorter term focus and derive joy and meaning and purpose from aligning your actions with your values, helping to build this climate cathedral. That feels good in the moment and the day to day. And it also adds up to this bigger picture. And I think studies show people find meaning from being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And this is the most meaningful project you can contribute to. So we really need you.
Would you also be able to talk a bit about the access to clean drinking water? Because this is really crucial for Aquaporin. This is what they work with, to secure clean drinking water. Also in the future, we know it's going to be a very scarce resource all over the world. Would you have a comment for that?
Sure. There are many parallels between the climate emergency. We're also in a biodiversity emergency where we're losing species that are really the fabric of life, that sustain clean water and clean air and natural cycles that handle our waste. So water and climate are very much linked. I think some of the parallels that come to mind are how recognizing we live on a finite planet. We have a limited amount of resources available to us, and we need to use and steward them well so that everyone alive today has their needs met, and also so that future generations are able to meet their needs. So we're not limiting the possibilities for people in the future to have a good life. So that's true with climate and stopping carbon pollution. That's true with water, taking care of that resource. I think, like climate, there's both supply and demand that we need to think about. Similar to energy, water is wasted a great deal right now, and there's a lot of potential to reduce our water use and get the same services. Same with energy. We have a lot of efficiency improvements we can make. And then again, the same with climate, we can look at, okay, where is our water supply? How can we handle this from a holistic perspective, working with nature instead of against it? So for example, protecting and restoring wetlands are a really important solution for water, to handle flooding and to clean water and serve as a nursery for oceans. And I mean, having thoughtful policies and practices on land that ultimately allow us to have clean water, those are really important.
Kimberly, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us today and for reading a bit of your book. It sounds very interesting, and I'm sure I can recommend everyone to give it a read.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
According to Kimberly Nicholas, our generation's cathedral is climate change. We need to build a climate cathedral. We have the power to make changes, and we are at the most critical stage to start making these changes. And we need cathedral thinking to stop the climate crisis. Water and climate are naturally linked. We have a limited amount of water as a resource for future generations. So this is one aspect we need to start thinking about. To get a better understanding of cathedral thinking and preserving clean water, we speak with Matt Boczkowski, who is the CEO at Aquaporin.
Thanks for joining us in this episode of the podcast. You are the new CEO of Aquaporin. Will you start by introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yes, of course. So first of all, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. Yes, my name is Matt. I joined Aquaporin in March of 2021. And I'm a CEO as of January 2022. You know, I have always really worked in the water space or in the water and purification industry. So my experience, you know, coming to Aquaporin has been with three or four different companies, all of which have been in a field that either treated water or process separations. So that's that's the majority of my background. I think. You know, one of the experiences that really pushed me to focus on the water industry is an experience that I had actually volunteering in Peru, where I spent 6 months in the mountains to working with a public health center. It's a really neat story because I went there as a public health advisor, and after a few months working with the different communities, we realized that a lot of the problems that the kids were having were related to contaminated water, or, you know, water that basically had some fecal matter in it because it was in a very rural area in the mountains. And that led me to undertake a small water treatment project with a community in the mountains. And, you know, it was really a fantastic experience that really showed to me that, you know, through education and through empowering people to be able to teach them how to build a very rudimentary and simple water purification system, we were able to make quite a bit of a difference. And so we did this for a community. We did this for a small rural school. And I would say when I came back from this experience, I came back a little bit different, a little bit changed. And that experience is what really pushed me to continue in the water treatment industry and to continue in the same kind of purpose-driven approach that I had experienced in Peru, to try to do that, you know, everywhere that I go. So I've always been in the water industry. My background is chemical engineering and microbiology. And what fascinated me about Aquaporin is that the company is taking a very different journey from your traditional water technology company, where we are using biotechnology, trying to find a crossroads with engineering to develop products and to incorporate them into a standard form. And then also, you know, give ourselves the chance to innovate and to think long term as to what else can we do with this technology in order to improve, you know, the access to clean drinking water for other people. So that's who I am.
Now you mentioned Peru. I was living in Bolivia for a while, and there I also experienced water problems. Suddenly there was just no water coming out of the tap. So I guess these experiences also make you realize how crucial water is and how scarce it is and how you really need to appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's a great point, because when we open our taps, we basically take it for granted that we have water coming out and that it's safe drinking water. It's not like that in most places around the world.
No, unfortunately not. But in this episode, we want to dive into the concept of cathedral thinking. What does cathedral thinking mean to you, and how do you integrate it into the decisions you have to make as CEO?
It's a thinking that goes beyond one's lifetime, in a way. You know, it's something where, I mean, you can project yourself 80 years, 100 years, 200 years down the road and think about future generations and the benefit that we can make to those to the life of those future generations by taking certain choices, by making certain choices today. So that's how I define, at least, you know, a cathedral thinking, of how my understanding of it is. So at Aquaporin, we are driven by innovation. And I would say that if you think of how our company started, it started with the notion of cathedral thinking. Our founder had this idea of borrowing a cue from nature and using that cue from nature to then develop or increase or try to apply it to standard form factors to then be able to purify water in municipal settings, in industrial settings, and so on. But the end result was not really clear. You know, that was 10, 12 years ago when the company, you know, first started working on the aquaporin protein. And I think today we are at a point where we are able to commercialize our first products from this innovation. But I would call this, you know, maybe our aquaporin 1.0, and we continue innovating and we continue giving ourselves the chance to think, what else can we do with this aquaporin protein in the future? And we don't know if it is going to be, you know, in 5 years, in 10 years, but we know that we have something that has the potential to become an extremely efficient water filtration mechanism powered by biotechnology. And that is really part of the culture of Aquaporin. As a CEO of a company, you always have to find a good mix between short-term and medium-term and long-term goals and aspirations. So I would say that the way that I love to use cathedral thinking is to help me set the culture and the long-term vision of the company. But of course, you know, we do have to have short-term and medium-term goals, you know, as any kind of listed company, we have, you know, quarterly reporting obligations and so on. And I think, to me, cathedral thinking allows to strike the balance between making sure that those short-term goals get accomplished, but also that they pave the road towards the longer vision that we have, whether it is, you know, delivering clean drinking water to the populations, whether it is coming up with the next version of the aquaporin protein. I think these are our long-term visions, and our short-term goals are aligned so that they really kind of lay the foundation, the pavement, if you want, to get to that longer vision.
We also talk about how cathedral thinking helps us think of future generations and that we have a responsibility to do just that. Let's hear Matt's thoughts on this.
Yeah, so you know, in my opinion, one of the most interesting things about cathedral thinking is that it allows one to take a decision or to think about how people that are not born today, that will exist, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400 years down the line, what decisions would those people make today in order to help them address the challenges that are going to be seen in that much of a longer time frame? And this is where I find it's a very unselfish, it's a very humbling way of thinking that is brought about by cathedral thinking. And, you know, companies like Aquaporin use that to drive our decisions in terms of wanting to conserve water, working on water reuse applications, working on solutions that are going to enable people to make the decision between purchasing a purifier to have access to clean drinking water versus relying on, for instance, the evolution of a municipal water system that is going to be available to those generations 500 years down the line. So I think it's for me, the importance of cathedral thinking really goes, it goes hand in hand with ensuring that future generations, hundreds, 200, 300 years from now, are really going to have the tools and the resources at their disposal that they will need to continue, you know, the same great existence and enjoy the same benefits that we have today as humans on Earth.
But how actually do you know for sure what problems they will have in the future, let's say in 200 years?
We don't know for sure what the problems are going to be. That's a good point. But we do know that there is issues related to climate change. There is water scarcity. You know, there's only a very small fraction of water on our planet that is actually fit enough to be a source of good drinking water. So we don't know if you know, to what extent and when these resources are going to be a problem. But what if it's too late to wait until it's a true catastrophic problem? And what if the people then don't have the resources and the tools and the technology to solve those problems? I think it's our duty and our obligation to really think about it today and to put in place technologies, actions to really help the future generations. So we don't know what the problems will be, but I think we can predict some of them today.
And how do you actually work practical with cathedral thinking? Do you as CEO mention this concept to your employees, or is it just, you know, unconsciously that you have this approach?
No, so I don't mention the word cathedral thinking. I think it's more unconscious in a way. But you know, the one thing that we have at Aquaporin is a lot of people that work for our company have a strong desire to contribute in a positive way, of course, to climate change, to contribute to water conservation. And I think a lot of those goals really lend themselves nicely to a cathedral thinking approach. And so without having to mention, you know, the words cathedral thinking, a lot of our decisions are already driven by this longer term vision and desire to help preserve water, to help deliver clean drinking water. So I don't believe it has to be mentioned, but I do think that, and this is part of our strategy, it's important to mention how our contributions that we do on a day-to-day basis, how the different wins that we have with our customers, the projects that we win, the pilots that we do, how these fit into this ambition that all of our employees have to improve water conservation, to improve climate change. And I think so the people that work here, that's how we all tie it together.
So can you say that securing clean drinking water is Aquaporin's cathedral that you're building slowly?
Yeah, I think so. I think really it really is. You know, that is what's driving us. And I would say the other sort of cathedral that we have is really around innovation. And it's really about also giving ourselves the not being too much bound by short-term deliverables when it comes to innovation, and giving ourselves the chance to also see what else can we do with our biotechnology. That's where we're a little bit unique in a way. You know, there is no other company that is taking a biotech approach like we are to water treatment. So, of course, one of the cathedrals is to, yes, deliver clean drinking water. But the other one is to also see what else can we do with the innovation that we with the different innovations that we can drive at Aquaporin.
But to build a cathedral, you need to be patient, right? So you don't build it and then tomorrow it's ready. It will take years, maybe hundreds of years, for the cathedral to actually stand. Is this sometimes a bit frustrating to work on something so long term?
I don't think it's frustrating. You know, I, in fact. I would urge, you know, any CEO to adopt a bit of this cathedral thinking approach, because it actually is more comforting in a way than frustrating, because we are used to doing things on a quarter to quarter basis. We have our attention span tends to be very short. We want immediate gratification, immediate results. Cathedral thinking allows us to really switch that off a little bit and to think for the greater good. To really, I find it as a balance between the kind of journey and the destination. It allows you to focus on not so much the immediate destination, but also what journey are you on to get to an end result that perhaps you're not gonna be, you might not be alive to see. But I think I personally take comfort in that, and it's not something that stresses me or that I find is frustrating.
Thank you for your time, Matt. It was very inspiring to hear about cathedral thinking and from the perspective of Aquaporin, and it was a pleasure to meet you as well.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure as well.
So Matt Boczkowski has always worked in the water industry, and he has a good point in that we take for granted the clean drinking water coming out of our taps in a lot of countries. That's why cathedral thinking is so important. how can we secure clean drinking water for future generations? At Aquaporin, they think in short, medium, and long-term goals. The short-term lays the foundation for the long-term visions. This was the 10th episode of the podcast series Water X Future, presented by Aquaporin. So today we've talked about the climate crisis in the light of cathedral thinking. If you're curious to learn more about how to survive climate change, I just listened to this other podcast by Anthony Day, and he has got you covered in his podcast, The Sustainable Futures Report. Past episodes include taking a critical look at energy resources, greenwashing, global warming, and talks with frontier sustainability personalities. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcast or tune in at sustainablefutures.report. In the next episode, we're heading to Aquaporin's office in Singapore. We're going to talk about water as national security. We're constantly on the lookout to improve and develop our podcast. If you have any comments or thoughts, send us a message on Facebook. Also, if you like what you're listening to, please send some stars our way. Rate us wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be very grateful. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back soon.